Oh yeah, it's me, Nyama Shang, and you are listening to the Outliers Edge podcast. It's so funny. I'm like, why am I like making another intro after the intro? But it's just fun. I like having a good time, and it's interesting. So I had taken a break from making podcast episodes over the last few months, and I came back in. I started listening to some of my old ones, and I heard myself like singing intros, like just saying the word hello 16 times, like all that, and I was like, man, I'm such a dork. And then I realized, I'm like, yeah, but it is kind of fun, you know? It is kind of fun. And honestly, I do it. It's like almost like my way of like jumping on a trampoline. Like it's like just to remind myself, like, hey, dude, we're about to hit record, but just because the record is on, the lights are flashing and the red bulb is blinking, don't lose who you are. Don't make this into something that it's not. And so I'm excited to be exactly who I am, Nyama Shang, founder of Outliers Edge and the leader of the World of Difference movement. And I am really, really pleased to be able to be in conversation today with Desmond Abbey. Desmond, thank you for saying yes to this. Thank you for playing here. I don't know where this conversation is going to go, but I do know it's going to be amazing that when I am like very, very well situated in. I would love to give people a chance to get to know you first. We'll do this here by just sharing a bit about like who you are, kind of professionally and personally. Why don't you start off with letting us know a little bit about you?
All right. Thank you, Niamh, for having me. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. So my name is Desmond Abbey, and I'm an investment professional. Over the last 6 to 7 years, I have been in investment space, basically investing in equity, bonds, and all of that. And then I went into venture capital, worked with a venture capital firm, and just been a lot of finance, basically. And from there, I started a consulting business. Basically, we just provide trainings. We advise clients, not in a professional way, but sort of just to teach people, to help people on how to seek funding. It's been very interesting working with startup founders and business owners, basically, because a lot of people don't know what investors look out for. A lot of people are just passionate about their stuff. Most times when you meet startup founders, they're just so passionate about their craft, especially tech guys. Software this, software that, hardware this. And, all they see things from, their perspective, the founder's perspective, but they don't get to see things from the investor's perspective. Yes, you may have a great idea, but why should I put in money in it? There will probably be so many other people doing the same thing you're doing. So why should I, invest in your business? For example, if you watch maybe Shark Tank and some of these other investment shows, there's a lot of founders who just come out, and when they get asked certain questions about numbers, financial figures, they begin to start to, because they're not well prepared for things like this. So these are the things that, we teach people. We help them, to prepare for funding and just to navigate the complex business world. And yeah, and I started my podcast, which earlier this year, January, basically, started in January. And yeah, so here we are.
I love that last part there around we're going to spend more time on other parts, but I love how like I started in January, and what was going on through my mind is like someone's going to find this episode years from now and just be like, oh, this is like him right after that, like his podcast has taken off, has gone in all these different ways and such since then. But like this was back in the beginning. So hello, future person, enjoy right now, and let's get back to what's happening here in the present. Desmond, how did you get started with investing overall?
Interesting question. So I started investing because I went to investing because I've always known that I would be, this might sound cocky, but I've always known that I would be big. I've always known that I'm going to be very successful. And so I wanted to know how to manage money. Investing was not, for me, was not a career path per se. It was something that I just needed to do to learn and teach myself how to manage finances. And I'm super glad I did that. And it's been a wonderful journey. So, now that I've not left, but left the career path, now doing it, investing as an individual. And just being active in this space. But basically, that's why I went into investment. It's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to know how to manage funds, how to manage finances, because it's so important. So that's why I went into it.
I love that you're like, I like, let me just tell it to you straight. I knew that I was going to be big, you know? And like, especially given us here as outliers here, like, I think that that's such a huge statement to be made. Because I think a lot of us, myself included, know that there's something there. My name is Niyama, but I also have my day name, which is Kweku. And what I was told that Kweku being born on a Wednesday means destined for fame and fortune, you know? And so, yeah, so when you say that, I'm like, there's a part of me that's known that. There's also something that comes up. I was thinking about another conversation I had with a friend, and she was talking about like the double-edged sword of being told when she was younger that like you're gonna grow up into something big. You can change the world. You can do this here. And so what I respect you on like two different levels with what like with you coming in and just saying it. One, I respect you on a level of owning like who you are. You're like, I know it, you know, and it might like, and th that is it. One. So like there wasn't a question there. It was just like let's own that. And then the second part is, and so I started making moves to prepare myself for what I knew would be inevitable. You know, it wasn't necessarily right there at this moment, but it was something where it's like, this is gonna happen. So let me take the steps now to create for that. You know, and I think that is just like, it just feels good. Let me ask you just one last part here, and then we'll keep going down. But in that space where you knew, but it hadn't yet materialized, you know, like what kept you going? What were some of the areas where like, take me to a time, maybe you can tell me a story, but take me to a time where like, you know, you faced some pushback, some challenges, maybe even some failures, like on your path to this here, to where you are right now, and how you overcame it.
Okay, great question. So first of all, what keeps me going? Because I'm still on my path.
Yes, yes.
exactly where I want to be yet, but I'm not where I used to be. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. It's a journey. You can see the progress you're making. And I think that's the joy of the whole thing. You can see that you're making progress and you're just excited about it. For me, you said something about being a two-edged sword, and I was thinking you'd speak more on that. I totally get it. There's this thing about when you're passionate about something, you're going somewhere, but then the frustration of, well, I'm still here, or I'm going somewhere, but it can be frustrating. But for me, I like to take things step by step. I have the grand vision. The vision is a picture in my mind, but then I put that away, and I focus on the next step. Because if you keep looking at the bigger picture, you get frustrated. You just be thinking, you'll be comparing yourself to other people, and you were never going to achieve that bigger picture. So in the morning, I just look at it. Ah, this is a great picture. This is where I'm going. And I keep it aside and I just focus on what is the next step of action. What am I going to do next? Because if you keep focusing on 10 steps ahead, you'll never take the next step. So yeah, that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, I feel you. I like it, one of the things I ask of other people is to keep it real. So I have to keep it real myself as it goes in. Like I'm in one of those stages where I find it happens when you keep changing, like when you step up a level, right? Or when you're looking to make a level change. And there's some things that like it feels inevitable, you know? Like it feels it's like, well, there's no way that this can that I can lose. It may not happen in the time frame that I want, but like there's like realistically everything is being built in the right direction. And I like what you said there about like being like waking up in the morning, seeing the vision, knowing it's there, and then like putting it away and just doing what's in front of you. Because I can get caught on, I can see four steps ahead, but I can't see the fifth, you know? And so should I even get started? Because if I can't see step number five, what's going to happen with like step number one even worth it, you know? Only to figure out that like if you had just gone down that path, by the time I get to step four, step four in reality is actually step 6,423 of the many, many things I did in my life. And if I could figure out the first 6,000 of them, I can figure out the next ones out there. So that resonates with me right now in a very real way. So thank you for bringing that here. So let's talk a bit here. Like you brought in something that I think would be fun to play with the from the sign of the kind of like investment, like getting people ready for investment, like helping them like really be ready for that. And What got me was when you started bringing in the metrics, you know, you got started bringing in the numbers. And I do a lot of my work right now feels more esoteric because I have a strong coaching background. I work with people on their mindsets and their leadership and such. But my background is actually as I was a math major for a while when I went to school. Then I went to economics, got into behavioral economics, came out and did retirement actuarial consulting at one of the big four companies in the US. So I could do the math. Nowadays, though, I haven't practiced the mental math enough. I have to get back into the game. But I one of the big things in the last year that it's felt very obvious to me, so obvious that it actually knocked me off my game for a while, which is that the metrics and the math, if you can get the metrics right, the business just makes sense and everything, things just flow from there, you know. So I would love to hear, and I'll be honest, things like cost to acquire a customer, lifetime value of a customer, lifetime gross profit, those things, what's the relationship between them and other simple metrics that people might look at to say, what's the health of how things are moving and growing? I didn't have any concept though. So I was just doing work. And sometimes revenue would come in, and a lot of times revenue wouldn't. And I was just like, keep, and I just, there wasn't any way to really navigate that without my good friend Math coming back into the equation. So I'm kind of curious from you, as you do this here, first of all, this might be a little more just like what are some of the key places where you're like, hey, look, if you don't know at least these three bottom line elements here, hold off on look asking for an investment. So you just because everyone's going to want to know. And then I'll just be curious about how, when you work, the second part of this is I know that I've worked with some great people who have a good thing going, but as soon as you start bringing in the math, the simple metrics, and I say simple because it's usually just one number divided by another number, you know, it isn't it's not that complicated what's getting done, but their eyes glaze over, you know. And so as you're talking about the readiness, I'm kind of curious about how you bridge that gap, or if the people that you talk to are like, no, we're ready for it, we're hungry for it, let's go. So there's two parts to that question. The first one is some of the cornerstone things that you're like, hey, people should definitely know this. And the other part of it being like, all right, when you run into people who are like, I don't want to know, I don't know the metrics, and I don't want to know it. How do you navigate that?
Okay, so you know, this is that's a good question. This is a problem that a lot of business owners face, and most people are so focused on their product. You know, oh, what am I creating? And they do not care to concern about other things. One of the biggest problems with a lot of business owners, especially in Africa, is that they do not care about numbers. And for example, let me give you an example. You own a business, and you know you are having steady cash flow. And a lot of people could just begin to look at cash flow as profit, but it's not. You could be having, you know, cash flow, you're having revenue, but when they've not done the proper accounting to see, okay, what exactly is going on here? Now, am I being profitable or am I not being profitable? You know, having that solid understanding of what is your income and your expenses, that's the first part. But let's even assume that it's a proper business. You have a solid company, you have your accountants doing all of that for you. Some people then tend to delegate that to your accountant. It's you cannot do that at all. You've got to understand, you know, your numbers. If, as a business owner, as a CEO, you've got to understand what exactly is going on in my books, you know. Now, to answer your question on the things that a business owner should know, the first thing is, you know, value. For every investor, an investor wants to know, what are you bringing to the table? What exactly is your company doing? How are you providing value to your customers? Interestingly, that's the last episode I did on my podcast, Value, because money gravitates towards value. You know, a lot of people keep chasing value and keep chasing money. They want to make money, but the truth is that you've got to offer value. And I'm pretty sure you know this because of your business, you know. So if you just keep chasing value, keep making your company valuable, that's how to make money. So investors want to know, what value are you giving to your customers? That's the first step. Then the second part is, how are you going to generate money from that value? Because you are not in the business of charity, and you know, investors are not planning on funding charities, you know, because they want to get returns on their investment. So the first step is, what value are you offering, and then how are you planning to generate revenue from your value? You'd be surprised to know that there are lots of startups that, when they start, they are just thinking of great product idea. But when you sit with them and you ask them, how do you plan on making money? Some will just tell you ads. And there are some businesses that ads does not support that. For example, a tech company, right? You know, ads may not be a good revenue model for that particular business. So it's a very, very intricate matter that you've got to, as a founder, you've got to understand how do you plan on generating revenue. You have to think it from the very beginning, especially tech companies. You're creating a software, you're creating a platform. How are you going to generate revenue eventually? You must think about these things. And if it's for a traditional company, buy and sell company, or a consulting company, you know, that's more obvious. You know how you're going to generate your revenue, but you've got to understand your value within revenue. Then the next step, the next question an investor would want to know is, what differentiates you from the others? You know, what's your differentiating factor? What sets you apart from others? Why should they put money in you? You know, there may be so many other people doing that particular business. What sets you apart? And it's interesting that, you know, it's something that you that right here in, you know, the Outliers platform, that you talk about outliers, something sets you apart, right? So there must be something that sets you apart, and you must know it. And if you don't know it, then there will be no way you'll be able to communicate it to other people or maybe to investors. And the last part is, how do you plan to scale? There are some businesses that are great, they are fantastic when they are small, but it will crumble when it grows big. In fact, there may be no even plan to grow big. You know, so how do you plan to scale that business? And these are things that investors would like to hear overall. So yeah, those are my 4 points that I think everyone should know.
As you said, I wish I had written this down. So I think I got the value, your revenue model, what differentiate you, and how do you scale?
Exactly.
Nice, nice. So yeah, you're right. This is Outliers Ed. So I'm like, I think most people are going to go with the value and the revenue model and how do you scale? And I want to get into like the what differentiates you, you know? So like what, like when that happens, like, and you're in a conversation with someone that like, what, can you give me an example of like a, I'm going to say like a poor answer, and one that like an example of something where you're like, okay, this person knows like what their differentiator actually is. And I ask that from two perspectives. One of them is just like, just to hear like, how do I say it? I think it's really about understanding, at least even in this context, what is the differentiation actually relating to? Because I've talked to people who talked about like, you know, people almost like what you're saying with like the cash flow does not like necessarily convey value, you know, cash flow does not like, so, and when I don't want to get too far into it. Give me an example here, if you don't mind, around like someone who has a poor answer to what differentiates them. And then something where you're like, oh, cool. This thing is like truly its own differentiated, business here.
I'm
You can
not
make it
very
up, and
sure.
as an,
I'm not sure I
so
got a question.
let me ask it then a little bit differently. Like, how do you know when someone says like, when you ask someone in whatever way you do, like, what differentiates you, or you're looking for that answer, right? What are you looking for? Let me break it down a little bit. Like, so what are you looking for? How do you know like what would be like? Okay, someone answered this. It's like, oh, they're not differentiated at all, or they don't even know what differentiate them versus someone who's like, oh, got it, we're good, let's move on.
Okay, great, 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 great. Okay, so for a lot of people, they claim not to have weaknesses. A lot of people claim not to have no weaknesses, or there's no challenges. You know, when you ask a business owner, what are your challenges? And then they say they have none. That's a very big red flag. So the first thing when you talk about differentiating yourself, or what differentiates you need to know your worth. You need to understand yourself, know your strengths, and acknowledge your weaknesses. It's so important. A lot of people and know their strengths. Some don't even know their strength. Maybe they feel if you make certain bold statements, it may sound proud. You know, for example, you say this our business, this our product is the best, you know, or maybe what we offer, no other person in town offers it. Like, as a founder, you should be confident enough to make such statements as long as you are sure. If it is true, if it is a fact, then be bold enough to say it. You know, I was bold to make that statement at the beginning of you know, my speech. If something is true, you can't take it away from someone. Just be bold enough to say it. At the same time, you should be, you know, be confident enough to own up to your weaknesses, to say, okay, this is where we are, but this is our weaknesses, and this is how we plan to navigate the challenges that we currently face. And then you should understand your industry, you know, your competitors. What are they doing better than you? And how do you plan to maybe overcome that gap in strength? You know, what are they doing better than you, and how do you plan to overcome them? And then, is there something you are doing that they are not doing, right? So just understanding that, because if you go into a business that is already saturated, an industry that is already saturated, you must have a plan to stand out, especially when the customer base is not very maybe large, or you know the competition is very, very strong. So you must have something that stands out. So anyone who can give an answer that covers these four areas, I think it's a great answer.
That's awesome. Thank you. And that's really awesome. And there's something in there, like you said, if something is true, be bold around it. Like no one can take that away from you. You know,
Absolutely.
I think yes, one of my coaches had said it's not bragging if it's true. Right.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that. Let me ask you this also this question here, because now that we're on this, I have a corollary with bragging. So when I get into when I'm coaching with someone, I'll often come to them and I'll say something along the lines of we set an agreement. And one of the things I say is I want you to enter the brag zone with me. And in the brag zone, you have to worry about being humble. You don't have to worry about coming off cocky or arrogant, you know. Just having the space to share what it's actually like who you are. When I first started it, I found that the challenge to be like to get people to just say what was true around the things that they've done, their accomplishments and so forth that they've actually done, right? I'd be curious about how this works, how it works, even like especially even on like your field with it, related to like the second part that I found to be hard about the bragging part, which is like to speak to their future aspirations, right? To actually say like, okay, I know this to be true. This like I'm bold around this here. This is where we're strong at. This is where we're weak at. Here, this is what we're improving on. And like I can look you in the eye and be like, I think we're heading here. This is where I can see things going. I'll be kind of curious from your standpoint on that side of the equation, that side of being bold, that side of like speaking into that as well. And let me know if anything comes to mind around that.
Great. So I think the first thing is to be able to convince yourself. You know, if you've not convinced yourself, you're not sure of where you're headed, you won't be able to convince others. You know, so you have to be so, it has to be very powerful in your subconscious and even your conscious mind that this is where I'm going. And then you should also have a strategy to achieve that, because if you just have great plans, it'll be like you're trying to maybe build a castle in the sky. You know, you have to be setting off, okay, how do I achieve that? Even if you don't have all the strategy to figure out, but at least your next step, you know, we talked about next step. You should have a picture of your next step, what to do. And so when you've convinced yourself that I can achieve this, I can scale this business to this point in 5 years, you know, I can be the industry leader in 10 years, in 5 years, you know, ask yourself, how do you achieve that? A lot of people, in as much as it's great to be bold and confident enough, some people just brag unnecessarily. They just make bold claims that, you know, it's not substantiable, you know. They don't have any method or any strategy to achieve that plan. So the first thing is to convince yourself that it's possible, and then have a great plan on how to achieve that. Know your strengths and your weaknesses. It's so important. Then when you know these things, it will be easy for you to just convince others and say, this is what we plan to do. And when you say, make some very bold statement, people will be like, okay, tell me about that. How do you intend to do that? You know, and then you would have something to say about how you intend to do that. But if you just tell someone, I plan to do this in the next 5 years, industry leader, I plan to become the industry leader in the next 5 years. They would ask you know, how do you plan to do that? Yeah, your computers have been in the space for 20, 30 years. You know, how do you plan to do that? So yeah, that's it.
There's a cool thing that's happening here where, like, you know, if I was looking at both sides of the equation, there's this element of like substantiate it, right? Like bring support to it, right? So if something is true, there's support. You have lived evidence, it exists. Be bold and say it, you know? And if you're like, here goes what I'm trying to do, this is where I think we can go, it's like, cool. Support that. Bring the evidence, bring like substantiate what where this is coming from. And from what I'm hearing from you're like, convince yourself, like you gotta believe it. If you don't believe it, don't expect anyone else. I hear like say the first sale is always to yourself, you know. So it's like if you're not buying it, then none of us are gonna buy it, you know. And then the other side of it here is like, I don't know, what's your plan? What's your strategy? There's still things that are up in the air. Like we know that the future is gonna be something, but if you're not coming in with a game plan around this here, like we're not just gonna like we're not playing the lottery. We could do a lot of, we could do that if we wanted to, but we're not gonna play the lottery with this one. So like I appreciate this year. There are things that I Desmond, you're speaking to that I think are really relevant for outliers, and I really appreciate being able to take a look at this from that lens. Normally, I would like I want to get a little bit more to you in particular, and kind of see like where you're playing, like what where like where you had to convince yourself where it was possible and such. But I do want to just thank you for bringing like some of your experience and expertise to the table here. We're about to wrap up this part of the conversation in just a bit, so. But I do want to just acknowledge what you brought in. I realized I was really curious, how do you think about these things? And interestingly enough, so much of what you said lines up with the things that the outliers often come around to me and say hey, we're looking, we're not sure how to do this. Knowing your strengths, being able to look someone in the eye and have to articulate your weaknesses, but not be defined by it, and to there's these elements that keep playing out. Let's do this then. If you're down to play, and this one question. So are most of your investments in Africa?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about doing things in here. What do you think differentiates you from others? And it might be you. Let's go with you first. And then if you want to bring it to the business that you have, you can go there next. But let's if you had to play this game, what's the thing that makes Desmond different than anyone else out there?
Great, great. So for me, one of my greatest strengths is that I easily identify my weaknesses. And that may sound just, but it's a very, very powerful strength because I keep getting better at things. And the same me you met me 3 months ago is not the same me that I am today, and for that I keep covering up a lot of my edges, and I keep getting better at things. That's one. For what makes that's one thing I believe makes me different, because a lot of people don't grow, and it's so important to grow. And that's why, the name of my podcast, Grow With This. So, I'm so passionate about growing, and I believe that to grow, it's all about mindset. I believe that for example, talking about successful people, people keep chasing success, but to be successful, you have to first become a person of success. You have to have the mind of success, so that you can be able to achieve the things that you plan to do. And so I'm a very big believer in mindset. And so I keep ensuring that I improve on my mindset. I keep ensuring that I take in thought-provoking things. Someone could say something and I may not agree with it, but it would provoke a thinking in my head, and that for me is so important, so powerful. So these are things that I believe sets me apart from a lot of people. That's being able to easily identify weaknesses. Sometimes I ponder a lot. Oh, this thing you did, why did you do it? And that's another thing. I'm very big on psychology. I'm very big on psychology because sometimes we look at people for what they did, not why they did it. And you'd be surprised at why people do certain things. Someone might offend you and you'd be looking at their offense, but you may not know the backstory. I know you may not always get to make excuses for people, but sometimes when you do that, it helps you to even think and grow. And so not just do I look at people's mindset, why they do things, I also look at why I do things. Why am I like this? Why did I say this? Why did I make this decision? So I ponder a lot and it just helps me to grow, to say, okay, look, boy, you did this wrong, And then of course to, seek feedback. I'm such a big fan of feedback from people, whether constructive or not. That's the interesting thing. As long as it's feedback, I just take it in. Okay, how can I grow? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? And just ensuring that I keep on moving. See, if a man does not stop growing, he's going to be the best at what he does. So yeah, these are things that I believe set me apart.
Well, Desmond, I'm thrilled that you brought this here. Thank you so much for doing this. I mean, it's in the name of the podcast. So I'm glad that you have your Grow with Des, that makes sense there in so many different ways. We're gonna wrap up here, and what I'd like to do is make sure that people have a clear way to be able to continue down the path. If they want to continue being in your world, Desmond, how can they best do that?
Well, you can listen to my podcast, Grow with Des. Are you asking if I can call out an email or
Yeah,
what are you
you
asking?
can if how do you, like if you want to go to the podcast, that sounds good. Some people will put in social handles, some people will say emails, some people will say like, hey, like whatever is the best way for people to like if you want them to reach out, what's the best way for them to connect?
Okay, great. So you can listen to my podcast. If you want to reach out to me personally, feel free to send me an email at Desmond Abbey. Abbey is ADBEY, then 946 at gmail.com. I'll take it again. Desmond Abbey, ADBEY, 946 at gmail.com. So you can send me an email. I'll be able to respond.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Desmond, we'll wrap up things with the question I like to ask here. And this is you know, a lot of people go and ask questions about like, okay, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself 20 years ago, right? I don't want to ask that question because I don't want to ask that question. So instead, I'll ask you this question. Given where you get knowing what you know now, what message would you leave for yourself in this moment that 20 years from now you'd be glad that you came back to?
That's interesting. That's interesting. Don't forget where you're coming from. Don't forget where you're coming from. Don't forget what makes you you. You know, sometimes as the time goes by, some people tend to lose their individuality. You know, it's interesting that you asked me what makes you different, you know, what makes you you. And if you lose that flavor of who you are, then you've truly lost yourself. It does not matter the level of success that you have. You know, but it's so important that what makes you unique, what makes you you, what makes you different, what makes people love you, what makes you stand out, that you still preserve that. So I think that's an important thing I would like to tell myself in 20 years from now, that look, I know you've achieved a lot of things, I know you've achieved greatness and all, but don't forget where you're coming from. Don't forget what makes you you. That's so important here.
Well, Desmond, I thank you so much here. I look forward to like me and you hanging out 20 years from now, and I just kind of play this part back to you, you know. I like the journey is just beginning. I see that, you know, you leveraging your strength to just keep on growing. I think it's going to be like amazing places. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you brought in here. Is there anything else that you want to leave this conversation with for any outlier that's listening right now?
Okay, first of all, thank you so much, Nyama, for this. In fact, it's been very interesting. You know, I always say that when you talk, you know, you're talking to yourself, but like I'm the first person that I talk to because, you know, it's coming from my subconscious to my conscious mind. And probably some of the things I mentioned here today, you know, it was my subconscious, but I probably never thought about it, but putting me on the spot, you know, just brought those things to my conscious mind. So thank you for that. I would say to people listening that hey, your mindset is so important, and you've got to protect your mind. You've got to find ways to grow your mindset. Taking content, what content are you taking? Read books, find a form of content that works for you. You know, some people prefer watching videos, some prefer listening to audio, some prefer reading books. Just get something that works for you. Great shows like this, the Outliers podcast, you know, listen to them and just grow your mindset. Because listen, your mindset, if you keep growing your mindset, there's nothing you cannot achieve, you know. Whatever it is you want to achieve, it all starts from the mind. If you believe you can, you will. If you believe you can't, you probably won't. So it's so important that, you know, you keep growing your mindset. And I'll see you at the top.
Well, thank you so very, very much here. Here's to the top. I will can't wait to shake your hand up there, all right?
Same
All
here,
right,
bro.
Desmond. All the best.
Thank you so much.